Well, this may be of a bit of an esoteric message in the sense that I think we'll understand it, but a lot of the world would not understand if they were to listen to what we would have to say today. Did you know that we desire with our heart, but we reason with our mind? And with our mind, we exercise strength. I realized this the other day when I was using a hacksaw to cut a closet rod, and it was hollow and chrome, and so I thought it was going to be easy, but I really had to put some force into it, and my arm had to go back and forth a number of times, I didn't count, but maybe 100 times, to get the blade, maybe it was a little dull, through that pole. And I actually had to set up two, so it was double the effort. But it still took my brain. I had a heart to do it, but it took my brain to think about it and exercise the strength of my body to cut through it. So Scripture points out that there is a difference between the heart and the mind in humans, though both can be directed toward and tuned into Yahweh's Spirit, being directed by Yahweh's Spirit. By the way, being directed by Yahweh's Spirit is being directed by His mind. And we know that it is His Spirit and His mind that has inspired His written word for our benefit. And with this image, we get a sense of the Levitical high priest expressing a dedication of heart and mind for Yahweh. In doing so, he is actually keeping Yahweh's commandment. Does Yahweh want us to keep this commandment as well? There's no question about it. He wants us to have a heart and mind and to worship Him with all of it, with all of our strength and all of our mind and heart. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. Love Yahweh with all of your heart, soul, might. The King James says strength. The mind moves and directs your strength. But we could also find examples of strength being given by the Spirit, such as Samson, though he still had to decide how that power was going to be used. He had to, with his mind, choose how he was going to use the strength of the Spirit. We have that same opportunity to choose what we will do with Yahweh's Spirit. And we're told not to quench it. So we're to use it in such a way that is not quenched, but a blessing to us and to others, and ultimately to Yahweh, because He loved us first, and we're loving Him back. And so what He is giving us, we are returning. In thinking about love, if you love someone, you set your heart and your soul towards that person. Your mind thinks about and decides to give strength to benefit the person, either by building a house or cooking a meal or going out of your way to make sure that person benefits, because you love that person. You want to share with that person. And this is the reason that Paul recommended that we stay unmarried, actually, so that we focus and attention can be given to Yahweh. But in that, we are also to love our neighbors as ourselves. This way, we fulfill the law, as no laws are going to be broken if you truly love Yahweh and your fellow man. Superficial worshipers of the Creator use proof texts which focus on mind and heart, including love and faith, to attempt to prove that we do not have to abide in actions of obedience to all the commandments, just some which are convenient. Most are okay with not murdering or stealing. Foundational even in our Constitution and our laws that are governing this land, but to use the Father's actual name or to keep the seventh day holy, well, the third and the fourth commandments were only for ancient Israel, they'll say. So we'll keep the eight commandments. No, six commandments. Hey, we can lie and we can covet a little bit when it's convenient for our selfish nature to do so, right? I mean, that's the attitude that we see today. Humanism, we're talking about this in the Bible study, the type of moral relativism. We decide what's right, what's wrong, whatever works for us. It's not right, not in Yahweh's sight. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the Elohim of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For Yahweh searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Now, this was talking to Solomon, but it speaks to us as well. Yahweh wants people in unity for him. And here we find a separation of heart and mind, though they work in unison. Did Yahweh expect Solomon to be obedient or just have faith through his heart and mind in love? All would be required to be a good servant of Yahweh, would they not? Yahweh says, let us reason together. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. So there's a benefit there. And, you know, eating good food is a benefit for us. It sustains us. It's life. Not everything is on the shelves today with this pandemic that's going on. But things seem to be somewhat normal. And yet there's still some problems yet ahead, economy-wise, and still with the virus that's going around. But Isaiah 1:18, this fits with the New Testament when it says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom Yahweh has given to those who obey him, in Acts 5:32. And that was kind of a judgment against the Pharisees who did their own will, not Yahweh's will. They kept their own commandments. They had a form of legalism. But to be lawful is a good thing. We don't want to come before the Savior and say, I'm here before you. Well, and then the Savior says, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. That's not what we want to hear. So we want to be the obedient children that are welcomed into the kingdom. With the mind we obey from the heart. But obedience is a requirement throughout Scripture, both to the Jew and Gentile, or with Israel and with the foreigner. But what do we need for the mind besides a good heart? Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of Yahweh is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And of course, when we practice and think about Yahweh's instructions and when we do them, we discern and we know right from wrong, and we're able to do well in this life because of that. We're talking about real men for Yahweh, what it means to, be a biblical man, someone that's doing right and that can benefit both the family and himself by doing the things of Scripture. But the renewing of the mind is to reflect and be in line with Yahweh's very word. The will of Yahweh is good and acceptable and perfect. That is what the will of Yahweh is. That is what the law is. Good and acceptable and perfect. Why would we not want to accept it? Why would we push that away or try to do our own thing? Well, it gets into the flesh. We'll do our own will. It's a desire of our flesh. And the Apostle Paul wasn't immune to it. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The very things I don't want to do, those are the very things I do. And he's expressing this struggle that he had within himself, within his own heart, within the spirit that was given to him and his own flesh that were at odds with one another. Our flesh is weak. But thankfully, Yahweh's spirit is strong if we submit to it. And submit, we have to, because it's life and death that's presented to us. And Yahweh says, choose life. Why shall you die, O Israel? In Ezekiel chapter 18, I believe it's stated there. He doesn't want us to die. He wants us to live. The renewing of the mind is to reflect and be in line with Yahweh's very word, his son, and the movement and motivation we receive through the Spirit of Yahweh, which, by the way, won't be out of line with his written word, since his word was inspired by both his spirit and his mind. The renewing or awakening of our minds is multifaceted. But in this context, it is with Yahweh in focus as a priority. The word itself is Strong's 342, rather, means to renovate or to make and improve from what it was. So to renew, to make it better, to, it's like repent. The Hebrew word is teshuvah, means to turn around, do Yahweh's will rather than our own will. Stop sinning, start obeying, because that is life. To choose sin is to choose death. And that's what we're faced with today. And I think we're making the right choices. At least I hope so. But we're not perfect, and sometimes we make mistakes. And in the prayer, Elder Tom asked that if we had made any mistakes and if we've sinned, that they be forgiven. But we can't make it a habit. We don't pursue such things as would be counter to what Yahweh's will is for us. We don't put ourselves in situations that would compromise the word and our conscience. You know, the Apostle Paul said that he applied himself so that he would be blameless in his conscience even, so that he would do what's right rather than what's wrong. And it's a struggle. And there were things that, you know, he had issues with Barnabas and Mark, and, you know, there's some trouble there, but that got corrected. And so, you know, he knew his imperfections and he expressed those things. And ultimately he said, who's going to save me from this wretched man that I am? And he said, thanks be to the Messiah. But as the Messiah holds our hands, as we hold his hand on the road to the kingdom, I mean, we need to hold on and we don't want to let go. While Paul thought it best to be single, he instructed husbands to love their wives as a parallel to the love of the Master, which he has for us. Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the assembly in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. And we see in Revelation that the bride has prepared herself, has made herself readied for the Master. This is speaking of the elect, speaking of us, the saints, if we overcome to the end. Paul spoke of himself as being blameless according to the law in Acts 24, verse 14, also 16, also in Acts 25 and verse 8. So when he speaks of the assembly being blameless, he is speaking of being blameless and innocent and holy in our actions. Our actions should not contradict what we say and teach and what we read out of Scripture. It should be united. 1 Samuel 7:3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to Yahweh with all of your heart, remove the foreign mighty ones and the Ashtoreth from among you, and direct your hearts to Yahweh and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. You know, one of the first things that's probably going to happen during the tribulation is those Asherah poles in Washington, D.C. Well, I say poles. There's one in Washington, D.C. There's also one in Italy in the Roman court of Catholics there. They're Asherah poles. They're pagan symbols of fertility, uncircumcised fertility, I might add. And it's a disgrace for this nation to have that standing in its capital as a symbol of what? Our pagan past? We're to bury that. Those things are to come down. But what's society do? Society breaks down other images and stuff that have nothing to do with paganism, but historically, in context of things that have happened, our history. Not to get going down a deep rabbit hole with the political, you know, agendas today and these type of things. I don't want to be involved in that. And so you won't find me out protesting or trying to pull down things like that. But in the kingdom, under Yahweh's direction, things are going to be done differently. And his kingdom is going to be over all kingdoms. His mountain is going to be over all other mountains. But it's important to know that a person can guide their heart by what they think, which is what Israel was instructed to do in 1 Samuel 7:3. Our focus and priority is to be to Yahweh through Yahshua. And aren't we to prepare our minds for good works and also resist the wickedness of the world? And we are to resist those things against the law and nature of Yahweh. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. That's where our focus should be. Yahshua is coming back. We can see things are bad, they're going to get worse. But after all that, Yahshua returns, stands on the Mount of Olives. If we're alive, well, actually, if we're in the grave, we'll be caught up first. But if we're alive, we'll also be caught up with him. And, of course, he is coming to the earth to rule, and we will rule with him. Currently, he is our high priest. So as we see, or as we saw earlier, the high priest with his raised arms to heaven, Yahshua is going to be and is a high priest to us even now, but he's going to be king and of sovereigns and ruler over all when he comes here. And so we want to be with him and thinking about these things and doing those things which are pleasing to the Father, ultimately will be pleasing to the Son. So again, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your behavior, everything. So serving Yahweh with all of our heart and mind, strength, soul, and being. Be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So preparing our minds for actions, maintaining holiness. We are obviously here on a day that is holy, set apart from creation. And being a holy people, we are to keep the seventh day holy out of the rest of the week, from sunset to sunset. Yet we are accused of being Jews because of our actions. Our hearts and minds being in tune with Yahweh's spirit and, you know, Yahweh's spirit and mind have produced the very things that we're keeping today according to his word. Little do they know they are speaking the truth when they say we are Jews, as the meaning of Jews in its correct and original form, Yehudim, means servants, worshipers of Yahweh. So we can accept that if we want to call it commendation from them, because we want to worship and be a servant of Yahweh, ultimately, and do what's pleasing in his sight. Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. O Yahweh, or how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. For they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. So they give us understanding. They give us wisdom. You know, doing Yahweh's will, doing the physical things, teaches us spiritual lessons. And we go above and beyond regular teachers in this world. But this describes what a blessed man will meditate and think upon. That is, the law of Yahweh will be meditated upon with his mind. And isn't this psalm written by a man after Yahweh's own heart? This is what made him so. Consider that for a moment. A man after Yahweh's own heart. A woman after Yahweh's own heart. A people after Yahweh's own heart. What does that look like? What will they be doing? We need to align ourselves with him and his word if we are not already. Just as Paul said imitate him as he imitated or followed the Messiah. Speaking of headship, Paul also pointed out that Yahweh was above Messiah. Also, isn't it written that Yahweh doesn't change? His character and nature of his heart does not change. He says in Malachi, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's serious about what he tells us to do, what he expects from his people. And we are convicted in the heart of what he's wanting from his word. And so our mind, we take action and do his will from the heart. So if we are in tune with his spirit and therefore his mind, will it not be in line with his instructions? Again, his spirit is not against his word, but both are in unison. In Romans 7, you know, says, in fact, I think I have that down for later, but Romans 7, it talks about, we understand, you know, Paul expressed that they understood and we understand that his law is spiritual. It's not just something physical. It's much more. And it has application for our lives. Colossians 3, verses 2 through 3. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Messiah in Yahweh. So this is written for us, specifically. And it is written in Romans 7, 14, for we know, we understand, we comprehend that the law is spiritual. It was common knowledge, just as we know that the Ten Commandments are a foundational representation of the law of Yahweh. It is foundational. We can't pick and choose. We can't say, oh, the third and the fourth, we don't need those. He knows who we're talking about. He knows I can worship him on any day I want. Not good. The first five of the Ten Commandments can be in reference to serving Yahweh, with the fifth commandment thought of with Yahweh as the Father of us all, and the heavenly Jerusalem, our mother. And the last five in reference to serving our neighbor, that is our fellow man. And then even Yahshua proclaimed that this when he asked teacher, or when he was asked the question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. And he said to him, you shall love Yahweh, your Elohim, with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend, or hang, and the King James writes it, like the hinges on a door attached to a house, the whole law and the prophets. So it's not separate, it's together. And as mentioned before, looking at Deuteronomy 6:5, there are a number of things emphasized here. Love, heart, soul, mind, strength, of course, is mentioned in Deuteronomy 6:5, and also Mark 12 and verse 30. Strength and mind are mentioned by Luke in chapter 10 and verse 27. So I think Luke, you know, hearing and gathering information, being a physician, he must have looked at the aspects of the brain and the heart and these type of things, keeping these things in mind. And so he would have certainly wanted to incorporate all of it. But the commandments encapsulated here does not mean we neglect other aspects of the law. For example, Yahweh's word speaks of keeping his Sabbaths, plural, holy. This would include the high Sabbaths, such as which is coming up here in September and October. We have trumpets, atonement. We have the first high day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We have the eighth day, which is going to be kept. These are special appointed times to meet before the Creator of the universe. Why would anyone neglect these things? They neglect them because they have forgotten who their Creator is and what he expects of them. They think he sent his son, many do, they think he sent his son so that they can live their lives any way they want. Maybe morally good, but you know, that's kind of like relativism, humanism. You know, we kind of decide that for ourselves. Oh yeah, there's some scriptures over here. Yeah, not murder, yeah, not steal. We don't want to do that. but the, you know, work on the Sabbath, yeah, we can do that. We don't have to call on his name. Major problems, because those are two of the foundational commandments that are given. They're given as a sign and the seal. If we remove the sign, if we remove the seal, where does that leave us? It leaves us alone and without help, without Yahweh in the world. And that's not a good place to be. We have strength through the Messiah, even though we seem weak and base. That's who Yahweh said he was going to call. So, not many doctors or lawyers or, you know, men of the world that we think, you know, high status. To a certain extent, there is some high status there. And it's not to mean that there's not any in the among the brethren. I mean, Luke was a physician. So some, but not many. Not many noble, not many wise. There are also his food laws. Well, those were for the sacrifices. Yeah, Noah understood that, didn't he? He knew the Ten Commandments before the Ten Commandments were written down on stone. Did he not? In the Ark of the Covenant, the testimony was there before Mount Sinai. Scholars think it was the Ten Commandments written down that was in there, the testimony. Things that they knew. This would have been brought down from Adam and Eve. Certainly from Abraham, because in Genesis 26 and verse 5, it says that he kept the commandments, the statutes, the laws. That's why he was blessed. But there's an alternative to blessings, and that's curses. And this nation is currently seeing curses. That, you know, Yahweh's people kind of have to deal with. Just like, you know, the plagues and the things that happened in Egypt. That affected the, you know, the Yahweh's people. That affected them. The initial blunt of those. But then he started making a distinction between his people and the rest of the world. He'll no doubt do that in the end times as well, as a parallel. Because Yahweh doesn't change. He has a way of having things worked out. That there are patterns that we find in Scripture, parallels. Not only a, you know, wings of an eagle, but great wings of an eagle. These things are, you know, similar, but a little different. But there are food laws, and that are appropriate for us since we are still a physical people. We are still to discern the clean from the unclean today in the spirit of Yahweh. Yahshua, when magnifying the commandments, didn't say not to keep the commandments. He didn't say we can now commit adultery or murder, both of which are found in the Ten Commandments. We do find some civil law at the moment, which is in abeyance, but will be restored in the kingdom. In the meantime, we are to be obedient to the law of the land. And Paul knew this, Peter knew this, the other disciples knew this. They weren't protesting against the authorities that were, but they would stand up for their rights in the sense of, we have to obey Yahweh rather than man. And that's what we're expected to do, to obey Yahweh rather than man. Even if it comes down to a sword at our neck. You know, forsake him. Follow this prophet, our mighty one. Sorry, can't do that. Won't do that. And you have to have these things made up in your own minds before it actually occurs, so that you will have the ability to, since you've worked it out in your own minds, in your own heart, and you've been submitting to Yahweh all this time, to be able to do whatever it takes to continue doing so to the very end. And that's where the real blessings occur. We were called and chosen to receive Yahweh's Spirit. We had to make the decision to turn from darkness to marvelous light. But that calling came from Yahweh, and it is to fulfill his own word promised to Abraham. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Speaking of the misguided zeal of those trying to serve Yahweh without the Messiah, Paul yearned to have his own people saved through Yahshua's sacrifice, with it receiving the help needed to live blamelessly. The author of Hebrews pulls from prophecy, as did Paul, to explain much of what he was telling the people about Yahweh's promises. Hebrews 10, verses 16 through 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. He then says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And as we know in the Old Testament, the law was given to be put in the mind first. Then it was to be placed on the heart. We find then that if a person is single-minded, the heart can follow. But here today, since Acts chapter 2, we have this prophecy from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 32 being worked out with its ultimate fulfillment in the kingdom of Yahweh. So what is the message of the people of the world today? Isn't it to repent? Or, you know, the message to the people today, to repent and turn from their ways to Yahweh and his ways, to prepare for the coming kingdom of Yahweh as it is soon to be established and is being established within the hearts and the minds of his people even today. That is, the kingdom life is being established within us, living that life now in preparation to be teachers and help the physical people to go through the tribulation into the kingdom with Yahshua as our high priest and with us being literal priests with him. James 4 in verse 8, draw near to Yahweh and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We know this message of repentance started with Yahweh as he told the prophets, and the prophets were to tell the people, such as Elijah or Eliah. But with Messiah, the Eliah message comes from John the Immerser. And then the Messiah himself told the people to repent. Even his own disciples he told to preach repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But many today do not want to hear that they need to change their lifestyles. They're comfortable. They want to rebel. They don't want to live Yahweh's way. They're in defiance. And they would just as soon not hear from us or see us ever again, if they ever do hear from us and see us. And I think the word is getting out. I think we tell a few people. We share the word, but we can tell that they're not really that interested. We can tell when someone is because they'll ask questions. And so for nothing else, we are witnesses, but Yahweh is still calling a people out for a treasured possession, keeping with the commandment of what he stated he would do, and he's going to keep his own word in blessing and helping the descendants of Abraham through Isaac. But many today do not want to hear that they need to change. If only they had a heart that ancient Israel had at one time, coming before him with fear and trembling. Deuteronomy 5, 27 through 29. Go near and hear all that Yahweh our Elohim says. Then speak to us all that Yahweh our Elohim speaks to you, and we will hear and do it. Wouldn't it be a blessing to talk to people today and tell them of the truth and have them say, tell us more. Let us learn more from scriptures as you have learned from these scriptures, as Yahweh has opened up your mind and heart by his Spirit. And ultimately, he will open up others to his word by his Spirit. But Yahweh heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and Yahweh said to me, I have heard the voice and the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they would have such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. You know, talking about, you know, real men for Yahweh and what the benefits are. I mean, it will go well with them and their sons and their daughters and the family. Yes. And the question, there's an if in there. There's a conditional statement in many of these sayings that Yahweh has. It's not just a, you know, broad stroke and, you know, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. It's not that way. We have to do something, and we have to yield and ultimately serve the Heavenly Father. But Yahweh from the beginning has wanted obedience from the heart, and this is why the Spirit is given today. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Not completely fulfilled, but has started nonetheless in Messiah, Yahshua. In the kingdom, it will be said in Jeremiah 31, 34, they will not teach again, each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more. Do we all know Yahweh yet? I think the answer is no. Do we know the Son? Not if we continue in sin. And that's just the plain facts of the matter. 1 John 3, 5 through 6. You know that he appeared in order to take away his sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. That's a condemnation against those who would turn against Yahweh after coming into a knowledge of the truth. And we read of Hebrews 10, was it 26, you know, those that trample on the blood of the Messiah will no longer have a sacrifice for sins. They are counting his sacrifice as worthless by continuing in sin, and we don't want to do that. We have to understand why we are here, what we are doing, and help others to see if Yahweh is willing for them to see. But not everyone is able to see or hear at this time. So it's a special calling for us. You know, many call, but not many chosen. So it's a special right to be able to come before Yahweh and worship him in his Spirit and in his truth, and to have the knowledge of the truth, you know, expanded upon and understand it to the depth that we have given our lives up. And I trust we have given our lives up as Yahshua gave his life up for us. He didn't come to serve himself. He came to serve us. And now we have to turn around and serve one another and love one another and do the things that our master has done himself, to love one another as he has loved us. First John 3, 5 through 6, one more time. We know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Sin is deadly. Willful, defiant sin is breaking covenant and breaking our relationship with the Father and the Son. Don't do it. Deuteronomy 26:16. This day Yahweh your Elohim commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all of your heart and with all of your soul. The word soul basically means being, you know, your being. May have been said here to put emphasis on the need for action. In other words, what a person does with their hands and where and how they walk. There's some places we don't want to walk to. There's some places, some things we don't want to touch with our hands. You know, back at this time and for our time as well, you know, we are expected to be morally good and an obedient people to the Father. And the benefit is we've been given a spirit from the Creator to do these things. So it's not out of reach, it's not, you know, it's within us to do these things. Those that have been immersed in Yahshua's name have received the Spirit from the laying on of hands. So we've put on Messiah. He is our sacrifice. And as he has died for us, we are to love him and to love the Father with all our heart, mind, strength, and being. How could we do any less? Look at what the Savior did for us. Here again is a scripture from the man after Yahweh's own heart. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 2. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and his law he meditates day and night. It's a great way to wash and renew our minds. Does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Does not listen to those that call good bad and bad good. Nor stand in the path of sinners. Not going out with a crowd that's defiantly, whether they know it or not, going against Yahweh. We're not to go in that path along with them, because that path leads to destruction. Whether it's homosexuality, whether it's stealing or, you know, breaking Yahweh's instructions. They're clear for us. And we have no need to go in any of those areas or directions. You know, some things like adultery, I can see where that's hard for some men. It's hard for some women. But those areas, that path that leads to death, and that's a path that we're to get off and to stay away from. It says, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. We're not to be mockers. We're not to be backbiters. We're not to be, you know, doing what a lot of the people, even our current leaders, are doing. You know, it was recent news. It's not to be political or anything. I'm not wanting to be political. But on both sides, they focused on downing the other person. They didn't look to themselves. They looked to the other person and trashed each other. It says here, we're not to sit in the seat of scoffers. And scoffers is not just mockers, but scoffers like scoffing at Yahweh, I think, ultimately. Oh, where is his coming? All this has been happening from way, way, way in the past, thousands of years. Things go on as normal. Don't sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh. In his law he meditates day and night. That's a good thing. That's, you know, Yahweh's perfect will and acceptable. An acceptable thing for us. So some thoughts that we've already seen so far. The mind reasons with thoughts and ideas. The heart can move us and is a motivator within us, but our mind makes conscious decisions to act and do Yahweh's will with strength. Yahweh gives us his spirit, which works in combination with his heart and mind, helps us to draw upon that. And today we're given an opportunity to succeed where Israel had failed. But they really started out, I think, pretty good, at least at the base of the mountain. Of course, the mountain was quaking, the lightning, the thundering, the fire, fear. There was true fear in the people. There needs to be true fear in us as we desire to serve Yahweh. Yes, we are to live by the Spirit in heart and mind. And yes, we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, which Yahshua said, quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. Said that in Matthew 4:4, also I think it was Mark 4:4. But let's not disappoint Yahweh nor quench his spirit by being disobedient to him. Let us focus our hearts and our minds and our whole being in serving him and others in the way he desires us to be, in accordance with his law and strength, with fear and trembling. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 13. For to us Elohim revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of Elohim. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of Elohim no one knows except the spirit of Elohim. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from Elohim, so that we may know the things freely given to us by Elohim, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. What does the law written on our heart look like? It's like the mind of the one who walks in the law, keeping it accurately, doing Yahweh's will. It will show as strength and resolve of an individual accomplishing Yahweh's instructions. Do we wonder sometimes why many people don't understand what we're doing? Even when we explain it, they have a blank look or will reason away the law of Yahweh, often using Paul's writings to do so, which Peter said that they would do in 2 Peter 2 and verses 16 through 17. He said ahead of time that that's what they were doing even back at his time. That they were athesmos, they were breaking through the restraint of the law and using Paul's writings to justify it. When churchianity or the world starts lifting up faith and love to the point and neglect of obedience, they are distorting the word, and they use Paul's writings to distort that word. They're distorting Paul's words, Peter is saying. So this is what we're dealing with today. The same thing they were dealing with in the first century. Some things worse. Maybe some things not as bad, but it's still contrary to Yahweh's instructions. And with some people, it's just, they should know better. But the hope that we have is that, a lot of the people are doing things in ignorance, and that Yahshua himself said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And these were the ones that put him to death. How could they not know what they were doing? They put him to death, nailed him to a stake. Yeah, Elder Tom says they knew, but they didn't understand. Does Yahweh know mankind's heart in general? Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. The deeds is the end result of the heart and the mind's actions. But what happens when one has the spirit of Yahweh? doesn't the heart, mind, and actions change? 1 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16, but a natural man does not accept the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of Yahweh that we will instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. The depth of what Paul is saying is something I believe we're just starting to understand ourselves. But the word, the spirit in scripture, you know, can also be likened to an attitude. So what attitude do we have towards Yahweh and his word? I hope and trust it's a good one. One renewed to know and accept his good, acceptable, and perfect will. We are given the written word as well as the spirit to equip us for good works, established from the beginning, Ephesians 2 and 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of Elohim. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. You know, we're talking during the Bible study about going out to the streets to ask people what they think of what a man, you know, what an ideal or prosperous man would look like. What are the qualities of a righteous man? And someone said, you're going to do that? You're going to come back with a black eye. Well, the intro and the ending that we have for Real Men for Yahweh is strong. So we expect some strong responses out on the street, because most people out on the street have no clue as to what we're doing here. They don't understand the depth of Yahweh's word. They don't understand the spirit of Yahweh. They can't understand it. It is foolishness to them. And we're not going to go out there and make fun of them. But we want to use some of their comments, and we want to come back and explain what the scriptures say about such things. And we hope to give some interest in viewership to those that Yahweh may be calling. It's just another way to outreach and have seeds spread and to do some watering. But ultimately, it's Yahweh that's going to have to really open up their hearts and their minds. But maybe something that will be said to them, or something they say and that we say that's shared, will have some fruit, fruition down the road a little bit. But Messiah, as we know, didn't do his own will, but only the will of Yahweh. In John 6:38, says that clearly, and he spoke and taught his word, John 15:10. For us, the fruits of the Spirit open up our hearts, and we practice the deeds of the Spirit and of the law through the heart and mind. We have encouragement that the work started in us will be completed as we default to Yahweh and his ways, as we don't do our own thing, but do his will. Proverbs 3 and verses 1 through 7, we'll close with this scripture. Actually, we'll close with another scripture, but this is a good one to have just before the closing scripture. Proverbs 3, 1 through 7. This is a good one for the young people here. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life, peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. The whole Bible can be encapsulated in this statement: fear Yahweh and turn from evil. and in doing so, we will live. Not only live, but live forever. Living forever with no pain, no sorrow, no death. He is our strength, and as we draw close to him through Yahshua, we will be more in tune with his heart and mind as well. And this was Yahshua's prayer to Yahweh. And we'll close with this. John 17, 21 through 23. That they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, and they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. May Yahweh be magnified through the hearts, minds, strength, and deeds of his people in Messiah Yahshua. That is our heart and prayer. Hallelujah.